This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, the ulama, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for organizing this event, for inviting me. It's an honor, it's a privilege for myself to be here in this great, wonderful city of Bakri Sharif. this is actually my first time that I'm actually ever delivering a talk in this city. A very good center that we've seen, mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of the youth, the organizers, and all of you as well for coming, taking out your precious time. The topic that I have, and the title of my speech, it says on the program schedule, which I think you might have or people might have seen, the best family and community man. When the organizers initially contacted me and they said to me that your title is the best family man, and of course we're talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I said to them, add community, because I don't want to just talk about the best family man, but the best family and community man. And what I don't want to also do is just talk about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because talking about seerah in itself, of course, is a means of reward and thawab and great virtue. You know, just sitting here and discussing the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brings about a lot of reward. But maximum benefit is only gained when we talk about things practically. We can talk about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like this, like this, like that. He did this. This was his sunnah. This was his character. This was his mannerism, his adab, his akhlaq. And that's it. It's like a story. That's not enough. Benefit is only derived and gained when we talk about it practically. How does it affect us? Because the seerah is only mainly for, in order for us to emulate and practice upon. And that's why the Quran said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. For you, the Messenger, in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a perfect example. And the Quran says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you love Allah, then obey, follow me. So ittiba', which is following in the footsteps of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the main objective of this program and any other program, any seerah program. Without that, the purpose and the objective is not gained. So when we talk about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the best family man and community man, how does it affect us? As Muslims, as men and women, brothers and sisters, this is also attending this program. When we talk about him being a best family man and a community man, a social person, this is actually one of the very, very important aspects of our deen and of our sharia. We have to remember something which we forget many of the times, that we sometimes sadly restrict the teachings of Islam to certain forms of worship or some external laws. Many of us sometimes we think Islam, or we act as though Islam is just to do with prayer, fasting, zakat, hajj, external laws. or the way you dress. That's the sunnah. We're talking about following the sunnah. Sunnah is not only the sunnah of the zahir. It's not just the way you dress. It's not just about wearing a hat. It's not just about growing a beard or wearing an amama. Sunnah is more than that. And that's why we have sunnah to zahir, sunnah zahira and batin. You have internal sunnah, external sunnah. Sunnah doesn't mean, when you say follow the sunnah, it doesn't just mean that, you know, you just wear an amama and that's it. I follow the sunnah. The sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is much more than that. Goes much beyond the way he would act and behave, deal with his family members. How he would deal with his wives, with his children. How he would deal with his companions, his friends. How he would buy and sell. How was he a father? How was he a uncle? How was he a person who was a buyer or a seller? We have sunnah in buying and selling as well. So when someone says, act upon the sunnah, then we need to think. When I go to the market, when I'm buying a car, when I'm dealing with a fellow Muslim or somebody else and I'm buying a car, am I acting the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in how I am buying this car? The sunnah is also in when we drive a car. Like one of my teachers once said, if you want to know what the sunnah of driving a car is, because there were no cars at that time, yes? You know that. And neither is it a bid'ah to drive a car. It's, of course, it's permissible. But to know how to drive a car, for one moment, before we drive, we sit in the car, we should think to ourselves, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was right now behind his steering wheel and driving, how would he drive? And then drive the car. That's the sunnah. Would he speed? It's good to grow a beard, it's easy to grow a beard, but to have sabr whilst you drive a car, it's more difficult. That's the real sunnah. How do we drive a car? Sometimes we put non-Muslims off Islam because they see a Muslim driving fast in Battersea or Bradford or wherever, or the motorway, 80 miles per hour, 90 miles per hour, speeding in itself is maybe haram. Many ulama have said speeding, breaking the law is unlawful Islamically. We put people's lives in danger. The way we park our cars, giving harm to any Muslim, or any, don't forget Muslim, any human being or even an animal, by the way we drive our cars or park, then that is unlawful. If we come to the masjid and we block someone's driveway, then we are not actually doing an act of ibadah, we are committing an act of sin, according to Islam. That's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, مَنْ أَكَلَ مِنْ هَذِهِ شَجَرَةِ الْمُمْتِنَةِ فَلَا يَقْرَبَنَّ مُصَلَّانَ. The one who eats from this distasteful tree. And in another riwayah in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, مَنْ أَكَلَ الْبَصَلَ وَثُومَ. Whoever eats onion and garlic because it's got bad, foul smell, then don't come into the masjid. وَلْيَقْعُدْ فِي بَيْتِهِ. If you want to pray Isha Maghrib, pray at home. But don't come in the masjid. If you want to come to the masjid, then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't eat. Or if you eat, then brush your teeth. Use the siwak. You know, apply some perfume. To come with bad odor and harm others in the masjid is actually sinful. And rather, a person should be praying at home. What happens in Ramadan many of the times? Before iftar, before Maghrib, we can't do sabah. We can't wait until we pray our Maghrib, go home and eat. So we eat a few samosa pastry here, there, half and comes to the masjid and Allahu Akbar, straight away. And then the people burp loudly in salah. In itself, it's haram to do that. I'm saying seriously, it's unlawful. These are important laws of Islam. To come, and then even worse than that is for someone to smoke and come straight away. I'm not talking about haram of smoking, which should be haram, but anyway, that's another discussion. But if someone smokes, the worst part of it is coming to the masjid and straight away start your prayer next to someone where you will be spending 7 minutes, 8 minutes in salah where you are harming someone whilst praying salah. It happened to a lot of people. It happened to me once when somebody came in Maghrib and straight away next to me, Allahu Akbar, iftar time. Few drags, straight outside, and straight, Allahu Akbar. Now, it's very difficult. I couldn't take it anymore, so I broke my salah and then I had to because it was harmful for my health. So then I went and started from the next row. So these are issues that we sometimes forget. This is part of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we talk about being a person who is, I'll say that the sunnah is just, it's not just external. Sunnah is external as well as internal. It goes beyond just the basic ibadah or the basic, if we look at Islam, 3/4 of the laws of Islam is to do with mu'ashara, with huquq, with rights, how to be a social human being. That's 3/4 of Islamic rules are based on social laws, social dealings. I was saying that the sunnah of even driving a car, how would the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam drive a car? How would he park? would he start arguing with someone because I am fasting, so I don't have no sabr. If someone's coming, you know, narrow street, maybe you have a lot of those, we have a lot of those in Leicester, maybe here, narrow street. The real sunnah, the real believer is someone who'll say, no, it's okay, I'll reverse back. Brother, no problem, go ahead, give way. That's what you call a real believer. And no, no, you go back, no, no, you go back. Okay, I'm waiting here, I've got all my time to waste. This happened, this brother once came to me and he said, you know, today, you know, this brother wanted, he was driving and you know, I made him, you know, I just said, you know what I did, I just, off the engine, sitting here. We're going to just wait here now. You do whatever you want. And he was actually proud of the fact. I said to him that this is something you should be ashamed of. This is not shuja'a, this is not bravery, this is not, you know, your power, might. لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the real brave person is the one who swallows his anger, the one who can control himself. That's the real man. That's why we call men gentlemen, because they are gentle. Not someone who's rough, or someone who's foul-mouthed, or someone who's aggressive. And when we look at the seerah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَمْ يَكُنْ فَاحِشًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مُتَفَحِشًا. He never used to be foul-mouthed. He never used to curse people. He never used to yell and shout in the market. And the Quran says, O Messenger of Allah, because of the mercy of Allah upon you, you were gentle towards people. Had you been harsh-hearted, فَضًّا foul-mouthed, غَلِيبَ الْقَلْبِ harsh-hearted, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ They would have dispersed, the companions would have dispersed, they would have left you. And the reason why many people were pulled towards Islam, many people were pulled towards the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is because they saw what? They saw his character, they saw his behavior, they saw his mannerism, they saw how he dealt with elders, how he dealt with young people, how he treated orphans, how he treated women. This is how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So much of Islam, the teachings of Islam, three quarters are to do with being a community man, a family man, a social person. We sadly live in a time where qati'atul rahim, which is the opposite of silatul rahim. Silatul rahim is maintaining ties, having a cordial relationship. Qati'atul rahim is in every level of society. Ties being broken. At every level of society, we find dispute, disunity, conflict, fights, arguments, at every level of society. Starting from the family, between husband and wife, parents, children, to the wider family, because uncle doesn't get on with this auntie, and this auntie, and this mother-in-law, and this daughter-in-law. And we are so-called practicing. We think we are practicing. We have nothing to do with practicing of Islam. Because a basic Muslim, according to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a Muslim. What is the definition of Messenger of Allah? Ask him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never said, the Muslim is the one who comes and prays Taraweeh. No, the Muslim is, al-Muslimun man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. From a believer is the one from whose hands, meaning physically, and whose tongue, meaning verbally, no believer is harmed. The meaning of Islam, according to many scholars, that if you say, what is Islam? Islam is a name of not inconveniencing others. Whether it's a Muslim or a non-Muslim or any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not harming and not inconveniencing our neighbors, our relatives, so at every level of society we see disunity, discord, conflict, family, relatives, and then within Muslims, this masjid, that masjid, between different cultures, Pakistani, Indian, Bengali, Arabic, whatever, you know, there's racism that we find. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to abolish racism. إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْ أَحْمَرَ وَلَا أَسْوَدٍ You are not good because you're red or white, being white or black. إِلَّا أَن تَفَضِّلَهُ بِالتَّقْوَى يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا The whole Quran and Sunnah is filled. Islam came to abolish racism. And sadly, within us, we find at some levels, not everyone's like that, but if we do, then we need to put this right, we need to correct this. That this unity based on tribal, you know, background, that this person is a Gujarati, or he's from India, or he's from Pakistan, or he's from Bangladesh, and then within Gujaratis as well, within Pakistanis, is Mirpur Sharif, and Kashmir Sharif, and Jhelum Sharif, and Surat Sharif, and Balooj Sharif, and all these different Muslims innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. There's one brotherhood. Sadly, sometimes we have more in common. A Gujarati Indian Muslim will be more close, will have more friendship with a Hindu Gujarati, rather than having more friendship with a Pakistani Muslim. Rather than having more friendship with a Somalian Muslim. Because nothing in common. Islam is the main factor that brings our hearts together. We should have more love and more brotherhood and sisterhood and more in common with our fellow Muslims, whether they live in Botswana or Sudan or Somalia or Qatar or Bahrain or in Pakistan or Bangladesh or whatever. So at every level of society, we see qatiyatul rahim. And the Quran calls those people who break ties as fasiqoon. Fasiqoon yaqta'una ma amara Allah bihi an yusar. These are the ones who cut off ties. They break ties. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع الرحم. The one who breaks ties. You don't talk to somebody, I don't talk to somebody, we don't talk to anyone. This person, may Allah protect us, shall not enter Jannah. لا يدخل الجنة قاطع الرحم. There's another hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. لا يهجر أحدكم أخاه فوق ثلاث. فمن هجر أخاه فوق ثلاث فمات دخل النار. Don't desert your fellow Muslim brother, and we can have sister, for more than 3 days. If anyone does not talk to their fellow Muslim brother or sister more than 3 days, and he dies in that state, may Allah protect us. The hadith says, دخل النار, he shall be cast straight into the fire of hell. Regardless of how much salah and tahajjud and awabin and wadaif and awrad this person is offering, with all due respect to those very important aspects of our deen. So, this is when we see the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Laylatul Bara'ah is coming, the 15th of Sha'ban, the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. There are many virtues, 9-10 different hadiths. Collectively, they are strong, if you put them together. There's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that on this night, on the night of 15th of Sha'ban, يُعْتِقُ اللَّهُ فِيهَا مِنَ النَّارِ بِقَدْرِ شَعْرِ غَنَمِ بَيْكَلْ. So many people Allah will forgive on this night. It's a blessed night, night of the middle of Sha'ban, 15th of Sha'ban. Allah will free in this night, you know how many people? 10, 15, 20, 100, 200, 1,000, 3,000, 4,000, 1 million, 2 million, billion. بِقَدْرِ شَعْرِ غَنَمِ بَنِي كَلْبِ. That's why it's called Laylatul Bara'ah. Why is it called Laylatul Bara'ah? We say Urdu, Shadr, Bara'ah, it's actually Bara'ah. Instead of Bashad means night. In Arabic we say Laylatul Bara'ah, night of freedom, because freedom from the fire of hell. Allah will free on this night, how many people? An amount which is equal to the hair that is on the backs or on the body of the sheep owned by a tribe called Banu Kalb. This Banu Kalb used to be a tribe, and they used to own thousands of animals. Imagine thousands of animals and all the hair on those thousands of animals, meaning heaven. In other words, it's not like a number, it's without any end. Allah will free many, many people, just so many people, every year on the 15th, night of the 15th of Sha'ban, in the middle of Sha'ban, Laylatul Bara'ah min al-Nar, Allah frees from the fire of hell. This person is supposed to be or destined to enter hellfire, he is forgiven. But on that night, some people, let alone forgive, Allah will not even look, or He does not even look with mercy. On this night where millions and billions and beyond are forgiven. On this night when millions and billions are forgiven, لَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ. Allah does not look at. Forget forgiving, let alone forgiving, Allah will not even look at. إِلَى قَاطِعِ رَحِيمٍ. One of them is the one who breaks ties. And there's another three more. مُدْمِنِ خَمَرُ, the one who is an alcohol addict. Musbil, the one who lengthens his garment out of pride. And there's a fourth one which I can't remember at the moment. But وَلَا إِلَى قَاطِعِ رَحِيمٍ مُشَاحِمٍ. Sorry, the fourth one is very important. مُشَاحِمٍ, the one who has malice in his heart. The one who breaks ties, and the one who has malice, hatred and malice towards other people. So we come into the masjid, we've got something negative about this brother or that sister, or this daughter-in-law from this family, or she, or this, you know. We can't even smile. This person will not, Allah will not even look. If we can't look at anyone with smile, And we are the creation of Allah. Why would Allah smile at us? Irhamu man fil ard, irhamkum man fil sama. The hadith said, if you want Allah's mercy on you, have mercy on the people of the earth. So this, you know, the way we deal with people, starting off at home, and then the relatives, and then the wider society at large. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way he dealt, he was full of mercy. We always hear the verse, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you except as a source of mercy. Even this ayah, we can talk about it in quite detail. The way Allah even mentioned, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That the word rahmatan, you know, the way it is mentioned there, I don't have time to explain, but that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was full of mercy. Full of mercy, but remember, this mercy was, he started at home. He said in one hadith, where there's a Sahabi companion says, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ يُسَمِّي لَنَا نَفْسُهُ أَسْمَى. He would normally, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would list us, tell us his names. And then he would say, أَنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَأَنَا أَحْمَدْ. My name is Muhammad, my name is Ahmad. وَأَنَا الْحَاشِرْ. I am the last of the prophets. وَأَنَا الْحَاشِرْ. I will be the one, when the first one to be resurrected. مُقَفِّي, the last of the prophets. وَنَبِيُّ التَّوْبَةِ. And I am the prophet of mercy. And then he said, وَنَبِيُّ الرَّحْمَةِ. I am the prophet of rahmah. In another hadith in Tabrani, which is in Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, it's a sound hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَحْمَةُ الْمُهْدَاتِ بُعِثْتُ رَحْمَةً مُهْدَاتِ. That, O people, I have been sent as a mercy to you, as a rahmah to you. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, He is all merciful, He is sending a gift to us from Him in the form and shape of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a mercy. So Allah is the giver of the gift. We are the recipients. Remember, when someone gives a gift, there's three parties: the giver, the taker, and the item of the gift. Allah is the wahid, the giver of the gift. We are the recipients of that gift. And the gift is the being of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was full of mercy, we know that. And we read the seerah. But what do we have to do? We have to take lesson, because he is the perfect example for us. With his family, he would, at home with his family, he was husn al-mu'ad, he used to be very cordial the way he treated his family. And his merciful nature. In the Shama'il we read, كان سهل الخلق لين الجانب. He was very soft and tender in his nature. He was very gentle in his nature. He was very easygoing. A person who wants to follow in the footsteps of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is someone who is easygoing, who is someone who is gentle. You don't become aggressive and rigid when you become practicing. I remember once in a university I was giving a talk, and I mentioned this once or twice, and there was this brother right in front of me, and he was quite tense, and you know, so I thought something was wrong with him. So I asked him after the talk, I said, brother, is everything okay? You sound very, something bothering you. He said to me, I've actually become practicing now. Which means that he thought that now, since last week I've become a good Muslim. I mean, now I can't even smile at anybody. I'm very, you know, I said everything very serious. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who can be more practicing? His Sayyid al-Bashar. Jarir bin Abdullah al-Badri says, مَا حَجَبَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُنْذُ أَسْلَمْتُ وَلَا رَآنِي إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي وَجْهِ. Never did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam place a barrier between myself and himself. And never did he see me except he smiled in my face. This is a sunnah. We always say smile, smile, smile. But not artificial business smile. It has to be genuine with sincerity from the heart. One Sahabi says, I saw nobody more smiling than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite, and you know, the real interesting part is that despite him having the whole worry about the whole ummah, internally he was very upset, very sad, very, you know, yet he never let this show. You know, because there's two types of narrations. كان متواصل الأحزان. There's two types of narrations. One narration says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very sad. But then the narrations state he was always smiling. So is there a contradiction? So the scholars explain that no, there's no contradiction. Internally he was always sad because he was لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ. He was very concerned about his ummah internally. But externally he was very pleasant, very joyful. Which means, gives us another message, is that, you know, when we have a worry or a concern, keep it to yourself. What we do is, when we're depressed, we make everybody else depressed. Coming home and, oh, this is a problem, you know, especially a man, you know, they say a man flu. Have you heard of a man flu? So when we get flu, everybody has to have flu. Your wife has to have flu as well. So it's like, oh, this is dirty, this is, you know. And we have, so we're upset, we make everybody else upset. The sunnah is to try to, okay, talk to one or two important people that you need to share your things with, but not make everybody depressed. So this was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who best to tell you the details of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's why your best referee is your wife or your husband. Your best referee, if your wife or your husband says, this guy is a perfect, good man, then that means this is true. Because outside, anyone can, you know, praise us, because we all, alhamdulillah, we deal with people generally very good. So Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked, how was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because remember, at home is difficult. This is why, you know, family men, at home is difficult. Why is it difficult? Because there's two reasons. There's two reasons why to be good, cordial at home, it's more difficult than outside. Two reasons. One reason is because we spend more time at home, less time outside. We're here for a few hours, we're all in mashallah, salam, greeting, alhamdulillah. Workplace, a bit more in workplace because you're spending 5-6 hours there. But at home, you have to share the same house with people, you have to, you know, the same room, things are difficult. So more time at home. And what's the second reason? The second reason is because outside sometimes it can be a show. Because, you know, people, I want people to say, I'm a good person, mashallah, good akhlaq. At home, that show part goes away. Because we don't want to, who wants to show off in front of the wives or husbands? So it's more difficult. So this is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, كَيْفَ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فِي بَيْتِهِ, how was the demeanor or the behavior of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at home? How was he? She said, كَانَ أَلْيَنَ النَّاسِ, he was the softest and most tender of people. كَانَ أَلْيَنَ النَّاسِ بَسَّامًا ضَحَّاكًا, he used to always smile and he would always laugh at her. She was also asked in another hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, مَا كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَسْنَعُ فِي بَيْتِهِ, what did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do at home? She said, كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ, he used to help and serve his family. In another riwayah, he used to tie, do his own shoes, he used to cook, you know, men sometimes, help your wives cook, it's good, sunnah, this is also sunnah. Just like the amama is a sunnah, this is also a sunnah, to cook at home. كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ فَإِذَا أَذَّنَ الْمُؤَذِّنِ خَرَجَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, however, whenever he heard the adhan, then that's it, he leaves everything and goes out. And likewise for women as well. Doesn't mean because women are female, for them as well, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an example. An example, mean they can learn and act upon his verbal teachings. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some narrations he talked about the men, where he said, you know, خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ, the best amongst you are the best amongst their wives. A good Muslim practicing man is not a jabir or a zalim or an oppressor. There's no place for domestic violence in Islam. A person, a good, gentle Muslim man, practicing man, is someone who's tender at home. He treats his children and wife with tenderness, not with oppression. This is not part of the teachings of Islam. And a good practicing Muslimah, after covering herself on all the basics of Islam and niqab and hijab, that's the basics. But that doesn't make you a practicing Muslim sister. Al-mar'atu idha sallat khamsaha wa sama shahraha wa ata'at zawjaha dakhalat al-jannah min ayyi abwabin sha'at. This is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. A woman who offers her 5-time prayers, observes the fast of Ramadan, obeys her husband, respects her husband. Part of obedience is respecting her husband. She shall enter paradise from whichever door she wants. Another hadith of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, أَيُّمَا إِمْرَأَةٍ مَاتَتْ وَزَوْجُهَا عَنْهَا رَاضٍ دَخَلَتِ الْجَنَّةِ. Any woman who passes away in a state where her husband says that I am happy with her, straight away into paradise. I remember there was an incident a few years ago in Leicester, where an old man in his 70s or something, his wife maybe 70s, passed away. I remember we went to sit at his house, and lots of people were sitting there, and he said, you know, to everybody, I think, yeah, his house, said, everybody be witness. That, you know, the hadith says that any woman who leaves this world in a state where her husband is happy, directly straight into Jannah. Everybody be witness, I am happy with my wife. Imagine, testimony given by a husband, by a wife. These are the types of things that takes us to Jannah. So, at home, with the husband or with the wife, as I was saying, domestic violence, there's no place. There's a hadith of Bukhari, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَعْمِدُ أَحَدُكُمْ فَيَجْلِدُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ جِلْدَ الْعَبْدِ. One of you, you beat up your wife like she's a slave. جِلْدَ الْعَبْدِ فَلَعَلَّهُ يُضَاجِعُهَا مِنْ آخِرِ يَوْمِهِ. Then at night, he might want to, fulfill his desires, but in the day he's beating her up. And not just beating, the way we speak, a woman as well, the way she speaks, she must be sweet in the tone that she uses when she talks to her husband. Sometimes women think that, okay, if we're women, everything goes. We can swear, slander, nag, say anything to our husbands. I'm a woman, it's okay. It's not, you're a woman, it doesn't mean you're excused. The way we speak as well, every word, statement we utter that comes out from our mouths, we will be accountable for that in the next life. And we have, it's not easy, of course, but we need to look at the positives of our family members and overlook the negatives. Sometimes we think, we just look at the negatives. There's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. A husband should not dislike a wife, and vice versa. That's not in the hadith, vice versa, but we can take that message. Because if there's some things you don't like about her, there's lots of other good positive things that you like, you can look at. We look at the negatives rather than concentrate on the positives. The hadith says, concentrate on the positives and overlook the negatives. There was one sahabi, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, my wife is, she's like this, and she's like that, and she's like this. He gave a whole list. My wife, she swears, and she slanders, and she does this, and she does that, and she does that. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want some advice. So you know what he said? Taliqa. Divorce her. So he said, divorce her. Struck him, divorce her. So then he said, O Messenger of Allah, la asbiru anha. Actually, I can't even live without her. So he said, keep her. Divorce or keep her. You know why he gave that answer? Because he came with 200 negative habits of his wife. He wasn't looking at the positives. So when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, divorce her, straight away, he said, if I divorce her, yeah, she's bad, but what about that biryani? What about that, as well she does. She says, what about that? All the good things came. I can't live without her as well. So then keep her. Forget complaining. Because we don't look at the positives. We always look at the negatives. And likewise, as I said, for the women. With children as well. In our family, the way we treat our children, very important. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was full of mercy towards children, towards parents, towards children. We know about parents. Quran talks about the rights of the parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. With the tawheed of Allah, looking after parents and serving them and being hospitable and caring towards them. وَغْفِرْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ. Being humble towards our parents is part of the teachings of Islam. And making dua for them. رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. And also children. Again, what happens sometimes is that the parents only want to focus on the parents' rights and the children only want to focus on the children's rights. The rights are for the children as well as the parents. There's a hadith which is in the Adab al-Mufrad of Imam al-Bukhari, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which he may have heard from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he says that مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ لَهُ وَالِدًا. There is no believer who has muslimani, who has parents who are Muslims. يُسْبِحُ إِلَيْهِمَا مُحْتَسِبًا. Every morning he wakes up to them to serve them and with an intention of reward. There's no Muslim who does that. إِلَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَابَيْنِ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Except that Allah opens two doors of paradise for this person. وَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَاحِدْ فَوَاحِدْ. And if he has one parent alive and he serves them and he's good and looks after them and he's gentle, polite towards them, then one door of Jannah. وَإِنْ أَغْضَبَهُمَا. And if he angers his parents, لَمْ يَرْضَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ حَتَّى يَرْضَ عَنْهُ. Allah will not be happy with this person until his parent or parents don't become happy. So somebody asked, وَإِنْ ظَلَمَاهُ. even if his parents are oppressive, he said, وَإِن ظَلَمَا. Yes, even if they are oppressive. This hadith is actually very important. You know why? Because what the Messenger is saying here, that a child's, a son or a daughter's role or his fulfillment of the rights of his parents is not dependent on his parents fulfilling his rights. We are indebted to our parents for the rest of our lives for the mere fact that Allah used them as an external reason for us to come into this world. If they gave us birth and that's it, did nothing after that, not even paid our fees or gave us a shelter or nothing, we still are indebted. Everything else is an extra bonus. We are not good. We must not only be good to our parents because they are good. And likewise the opposite. This is not a transaction. Many times we think it's a transaction. If my brother is good to me, I'll be good to my brother. If my sister is good to me, then I'll be good. The hadith of Sahih Bukhari says, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلْ بِالْمُكَافِرِ وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. The maintainer of ties is not the one who maintains ties because as a repayment. Because anyone can do that. If someone's good to me, I'm good to you. That's like, if you don't do that, then you're an animal. I mean, that's of course part of being a human. The real maintainer of the ties is when people cut you off. Someone swears at you, and you don't swear back. Someone slanders us, we don't slander. Someone, you know, does bad things to us, we don't retaliate. That's the real maintainer of ties. This is the hadith of Sahih Bukhari. So, this is what this hadith is saying. It's not a transaction. If my parents are good to me, then I'll be good to them. Likewise, children as well. Don't look after your children. Don't care for them. Just because, you know what, when you grow up, clean with. Do it for the sake of Allah. I was once driving a car and I saw at the back of the car, you know, look after your children because they're the ones that will be choosing your nursing home when they bring you around. It's like, we're worried. Like, this is investment. Investment for the akhirah, not investment for this world. You do what you have to do, look after your children, give them love, give them support, give them time, give them attention, give them care, only and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is our Islamic and religious obligation and duty and responsibility. Only for that reason. Not because, oh, they'll be good afterwards to us. Or if that happens, alhamdulillah, it's a bonus. When we give a gift, we give a gift to a fellow Muslim, not because then when they will give us a gift. Don't invite people to your wedding because they think, you know, they will invite us. Or let's see, who invited us? We have to invite them. This is all, according to Islam, considered to be interest and riba, which is haram. It's just transactions. They invited us, or we have to invite them. These are all, you know, cultural customs which have nothing to do with Islam. And this is why one of the basic aspects, one of the great teachings of Islam, which is different from every other faith group. Because remember, everyone, Christians, Jews, every faith group will tell you one thing. Be a good person. Treat people well. But the difference in Islam with the teachings in Christianity, Judaism and other faiths is this. That everyone else, yes, they will teach you be good, be nice, be gentle, be hospitable, be good towards people. But in Islam, the intention is that it is only for the pleasure of Allah. There is no ulterior motive. When I am good to you, you are good to me. When we are good to our parents, our children, our family, fellow Muslims, it is only, not even for that person, not even for our own parents. Yes, we want them to be happy, but because Allah has made it obligatory upon us. The main objective is the pleasure of Allah. The main aim and goal is to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with children as well, the best community man, the best family man, with the best man, who, the way he treated children, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you know, didn't have time because none of his children lived, you know, to be young children or teenagers. So, where did he manifest his rahmah with young people? It manifested with his, especially with his grandchildren, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu. He would regularly kiss them. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once kissed Hassan bin Ali radiallahu anhu. So there was a person by the name of Aqra bin Habis. He was sitting there. He looked at the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, إِنَّنِي عَشَرَ مِثْلَ هَوْلَىٰ مَا قَبَلْتُ وَاحِدْ مِنْهُمْ. I have like 10 of these, never kissed one of them. I've got like 10 of these, you know, running around, grandchildren. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at him and he said, مَنْ لَا يَرَحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. The one who doesn't show compassion and mercy, Allah will not show rahmah and compassion and mercy unto him. Another person, he actually said the same thing as well. He said, you people, you kiss your grandchildren and your children, you kiss them. This is the sunnah, kiss children. not just your own children, but any child. I've seen this in some cultures, like especially the Arab culture. Small children, they'll come and kiss the hands of the parents and elders and elderly people. This is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would kiss young children. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yazuru al-ansar. This is a hadith again. Kana yazuru sabiyan al-ansar. Kana yazuru al-ansar. He would go and visit the ansar. Yuqabbilu sabiyanahum wa yamsahu ru'usahum. He would kiss their children and he would place his hand over their heads, young children. This is a sunnah showing mercy to any child. Don't get angry. We have a child come to the masjid. Hey, what are you here? Outside. No, 7-year-old, 6 to 8-year-old, 9-year-old. Negative. They think coming to the masjid is all about shouting and screaming and outside and get out from here. This is not the way of doing da'wah. This is not the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his masjid. There was a man who actually urinated. A villager who had recently introduced that embraced Islam, Jabala Arabiyun fil Masjid. A villager came into the masjid, in the corner of the masjid, he started urinating. Imagine that happening in one of our masjids in any city of England. Probably in 10 minutes, the ambulance would have to come. The Sahaba started looking at him. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him, da'uhu, leave him. Don't stop him. One of the reasons which the Muhaddithun explained is that because you stop someone urinating right in the middle, then it causes harm to that person. And also another reason is that if you start running after him, then he's just polluting that corner. He'll be running, and the whole masjid will be polluted. So leave him. He said, let him finish his job. And then afterwards, just pour water and clean it. And then he went to him, and then he explained to him in a nice, gentle way, that in هَذَا الْمَسَاجِدُ لَا يَسْرَحُ لِشِئِ مِنْ هَذَا وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ بِذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَقْرَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ. That, you know, brother, this masjids are not appropriate for things like urinating, etc. This is for the remembrance of Allah, Salah, Dhikr, the Quran. There's another also narration incident where somebody came and asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, then leave the zina. I want you to do zina. Can I do zina? Please give me permission. I want to commit zina. Someone like him said, Astaghfirullah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him, it's a long hadith, explained to him that would you like someone committing zina with your mother, your sister, your daughter, your auntie, your maternal aunt, your paternal aunt? He said, no, la wallah ya Rasulullah. So he said, likewise, people don't like the same with their mothers and sisters. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. But anyway, that person afterwards, he said, ma ra'aytu ahsana mu'alliman minhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la qablahu wa la ba'dahu. I have never seen a teacher better than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, neither before him and after him. So there's ways of doing da'wah as well. There's compassion and mercy in propagating the teachings of Islam. So with children, and I'm going to end, I know time's up, but with children, we need to show this mercy. And then the wider society, we need to be very careful, you know, with the wider society, making sure, like I pointed out towards some things, we make sure the meaning of Islam is not to inconvenience other people. Liking for yourself what you like for a Muslim brother, sister, and making sure that our relationships are good in light of the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, I'm going to end with this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me, first of all, the tawfiq, the ability to practice, all of you, inshallah. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.
JazakAllah to our respected guest, Mufti Muhammad Saab, for that enlightening bayan and enlightening speech. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to act upon what Mawlana has said, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the guidance and the proper seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we can implement that into our lives.